Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ryan Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus from York College, City University of New York. Welcome you to this May 24th edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM. That's WBAI on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right, the York College radio community is plugged in via the miracle of the internet. Well, today we hope to have another powerful and informative show. We'll be joined shortly by one of the great institution builders of our time, Dr. Haki Madhubuti, who has a new book out, which is entitled Taught by Women, Poems and Resistance Language. We're going to talk about the power of art. And he'll be joining us momentarily. But before we do that, our commentary and opening for today, first of all, I just want to say what's up with these attacks on Jews. I mean, we may have differences of opinion about what is going on in the Middle East, and hopefully that's going to be one of our topics for the soapbox. People may lament or not like what is going on in terms of Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. But it is not okay to just random go out and start attacking and beating Jews. That is anti-Semitic. That is doing a sweeping indictment of people who may have nothing to do with it at all. And I don't like the idea of beating people anyway or violence against people. So please, let's check ourselves. This is not the way to express our support for the Palestinians, by going out and engaging in attacks on Jews. This is just not a good thing to do. It is a horrific thing to do, in fact. Those who disagree, of course, can call later on the soapbox and tell me why I'm wrong. The other thing I continue to talk about is taking care of ourselves. We'll talk during our soapbox about your feelings about, you know, our current state. Everything is opening up. At the Knicks game last night, 15,000 fans in one section. I guess another section, which were for vaccinated people. Spike Lee was in his dream world, and they were having a raucous time. Unfortunately, they lost the game, but nonetheless, it was a great experience. The issue becomes again how safe we feel and whether or not this is a good thing that is occurring, or maybe perhaps people may be moving too fast. Question is anxiety. You know, how do people feel about this period? It's not just about getting COVID. It's about these long haulers, people who are suffering from so many after effects. That's really not discussed, in my opinion, sufficiently enough. And so we have a Community Cares Listening Line. It's deliberately called Community Cares Listening Line. And, you know, violence is, more violence is erupting, domestic violence, alcohol abuse, all kinds of things that seem to be related to the COVID itself, the aftermath, the trauma in terms of aftermaths of COVID, if you will. And indeed, you know, these, again, symptoms from long haulers. And so we have with the Black Family Summit, Community Cares Listening Line, you can call. We have culturally appropriate listeners, social workers, psychiatrists, administrators in Black Child Welfare who are standing by to just listen and to hopefully alleviate you of your concerns, of your anxieties, and to make a culturally appropriate reference to an agency or organization if, in fact, that is your wish. It's completely confidential, confidential. I mean, you don't have to give up any of your information, any of those kind of things at all. 877-827-6677 is the number to call. 877-827-6677 is the Community Cares Listening Line. And we are delighted that WBAI is partnering with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century's Black Family Summit and indeed carrying this very vital and very much needed service. And again, at the end of the show, we'll have plenty of time for people to to call it a soapbox. We're going to talk about it's the on the eve of the anniversary of the public lynching of George Floyd. We'll be talking about police killings. Has anything really changed? Police violence over the weekend, over 13 mass shootings occurred. Question of bipartisanship. Is this a futile exercise? We'll have plenty of topics for you to weigh in on at the end of the show, at the end of the segment, and hopefully I'll have the number right this time. But now I am delighted to welcome to the show again one of the great poet, playwrights, activists, organizers, and I think institution builders of our time, none other than Dr. Haki Madhubuti. But Madhubuti, we want to talk to him about the power of art, his new and also his new book, Taught by Women, Poems as Resistance Language. Dr. Haki Madhubuti, welcome to Vantage Point one more time. Dr. Madhubuti, are you there? Oh, I thought we had him. I guess maybe not. Oh, he's not ready. I misread the message. Okay, hopefully he'll be joining us shortly. My misread of it. Hopefully he'll be joining us momentarily because we have a limited time. But again, to talk about the issues that we will be talking about. So the number that you can sort of filing it ready is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. I hope I have it right this time. And again, let me just go back once again and double down on how incorrect and just outright wrong it is to any people. If you have a disagreement with a policy or something, to just randomly select a person in that group and attack them. Now, we have seen this with anti-Asian violence, for example. Some people seem to have some issue with some areas of what's happening, and all of a sudden, every Asian person becomes a target, and some of the most brutal just attacks that we see going down. I mean, I got to believe some of this is COVID related. I may be wrong. I'm not a psychiatrist, but this is not a good thing. And so, again, I would encourage people to channel your protest, channel your support in a constructive and meaningful way, whether it is through marching, demonstrations. I mean, civil disobedience is always in order. As far as I'm concerned, it's freedom by any means necessary, but also through petitioning and all of these kinds of methodologies. Again, great concern about the fact that, and I didn't pick up all the numbers, they've been talking about it all day today, 13 mass shootings over the weekend alone. Guns, 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 a nation awash in guns, guns, guns. I mean, there are more, I mean, it's just utterly absurd that there are so many guns. And I maintain it is because of the fear of the dangerous black man that has been created. And so therefore this nation has found itself arming itself against, this perceived threat of revenge and whatever against, black people who have suffered so much in this society. I understand that we do now have our esteemed brother, Dr. Haki Madhubuti, ready to go. Dr. Madhubuti, welcome again to Vantage Point.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Daniels. How you feel?
I'm feeling fine. Whenever I can have you on the line, if all the great work you've done over the years, I feel blessed and highly favored, as the folks say, in our community. Before we get into the main topic for today, I have described you, because I passionately believe in it, that you are one of the great Pan-Africanist institution builders of our time. And I'm wondering whether you would just share briefly with the audience the makeup of, I think I'm stating it right, you have a whole city block that has been purchased, and I think the umbrella is the New Concept Development Center. But if I have that wrong, please correct me. But just share just the nature of what you've done.
It's a half a block, and the we started out over 50 years ago, first with Third World Press. I was 54 years ago, Third World Press. And then in 1969, we started the Institute of Positive Education. And then we added New Concept School, which was our first school, which is a preschool. And then as we grew, we moved from location to location, buying two locations. And then we moved to the current location, buying, really, it was a Catholic parish. We bought the entire parish. And we made it into the Institute of Positive Education and Third World Press Foundation. And we have three schools, our New Concept School, we still have that. We have the Bedeshia Bars Academy, which is K-8. We have the Barbara Ann Sizemore Academy, which is K-8. And we have Third World Press, and then we have Third World Press Foundation, which is a foundation serving the entire community nationally and internationally with books that we donate to brothers and sisters and others incarcerated in the nation's gulag. So we've been doing this for over 54 years now. And we are independent black institution. And if you say Pan-Africanist, you're absolutely correct. I learned from Imwalimu Julius Nyerere. I learned from Kwame Nkrumah. I learned from, in fact, Malcolm X was, he mentored me as well as millions of others and thousands of others, brothers and sisters. And these brothers and sisters, Margaret Burroughs and Charlie Burroughs, who mentored me also, they were the founders, co-founders of the first black museum in the country, the African American, the DuSable Museum of African American History, as well as I was mentored by Dudley Randall, who founded the first black book poetry company, Broadside Press, out of Detroit, Michigan, which I modeled Third World Press after. I was also mentored by a man by the name of Hort W. Fuller, who was the managing editor of Negro Digest, which became Black World Magazine, which was a major magazine to come out of the Black Arts Movement and chronicle the entire Black Arts Movement for over 15 years.
Right.
And I was mentored by Barbara Ann Sizemore.
Right.
Dr. Barbara Sizemore was the first black superintendent of the D.C. public school system, which she shepherded into a new direction until she got too black and they had to get rid of her.
Right.
I was teaching at Howard University at that point. And then I was mentored by my cultural mother, Gwendolyn Brooks, first black in this country to win the Pulitzer Prize. But more importantly than that, the first black who never turned her back on her community. And over 80-some-odd years, she served that community not only as a poet of a high distinction, but also as a mentor to me and others in this nation.
Right, right. Well, it's an incredible record, no question about it. And I just wanted you to share that with our audience. The other thing before we get into the actual discussion of your book, and this is just my own preferences, I have always been impressed with your articulation of the proposition of the power of art. You have consistently talked about that. And then people say, what is art? But you've just said art, how powerful art is. And I'm wondering whether you would just share that concept with us, you know, in terms of your philosophy and your belief in terms of what it means to the power of art.
Well, I often say that, you know, I can walk into your home today not knowing you and tell you exactly where you are in terms of culture. Of course, art represents the fundamental portion of culture that actually humanizes us. And I published a poem a few years back, but it's in my new book, and it's essentially titled Art. Art is a prodigious and primary energy force. Children's active participation in music, dance, painting, poetry, and film, photography, and the indigenous crafts of their people is what make them whole, physically human, secure in their own skin, culture, and abilities, thus generating in them unlimited possibilities. Art is fundamental instruction and food for people's souls as they translate the many languages and acts of becoming, often telling them in no uncertain terms that all humans are not pure or perfect. However, the children of all cultures inherit their creator's capacity originate from the bone of their imagination, the closest manifestation of purity, perfection, and beauty, art. Art at its least encourages us to walk on water, dance on top of trees, and skip from star to star without being able to swim, keep a beat, or fly. A children's on-fire imagination is the one universal prerequisite for becoming an artist. We say magnify your children's minds with art. Jumpstart their questions with art. Introduce your children to the cultures of the world through art. Energize their young feet, spirits, and souls with art. Infuse the values important to civic culture and via art. Keep them curious, political, and creative through art. Speak and define the universal language of beauty through art. Learn to appreciate peace with art. Approach the cultures of others through their art. Introduce the spiritual path of other people through their art. Keep young people in school off drugs and out of prison with art. Keep their young minds running, jumping, and excited with art. Examine the nurturing moments of love, peace, and connecting differences with art. Art allows and encourages the love of self and others. The best artists are not mass murderers, criminals, or child molesters. They're in the beauty and creation business. Art is elemental to intelligence, working democracy, freedom, equality, and justice. Art, if used wisely and wily, early and often, is an answer and a question. It is a cultural lake that indigenous rivers of dance, music, local images, and voices flow. Art is the waterfall of life, reflecting the untimely and unique soul of a people. Art is the drumbeat of good and great hearts forever seeking peace and a grand future for all, enlightened people. But these are the people, the world over, who lovely proclaim, give the artist some. Kind words, financial support, yeses from the heart, knowing intuitively that there will be creative reciprocity in all that they give us. Why? Because fundamentally, art inspires, informs, directs, generates hope, and challenges the receiver to respond. And finally, and this is consequential, the quality of the art determines the quality of the responses.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, for my entire life and for the lives of the brothers and sisters, most certainly out of the Black Arts Movement, we saw our art form, writing, whether it's musicians or as visual artists, giving to the community what they gave to us. But at the same time, we see and have a different kind of vision, so we just try to take what they give us and take it to another level and give it back to them.
Wow, how powerful. Well, to say that you are a prolific author and writer is an understatement. You have just churned out book after book after book after book. It's just simply amazing. And you have a new volume. And I just want to ask, why did you decide to write Taught by Women, your new book? That's not the full title. It's the full title is Taught by Women, Poems of Resistance Language. Why did you decide to take on this creative task?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there were four consequential women in my life, maybe five, including my mother. My mother was in the sex trade, and she was murdered at 34, so she wasn't around for maybe about 16 years of my life. But most certainly Margaret Burroughs and Barbara Ann Sizemore and Gwendolyn Brooks, and of course my wife, Dr. Carol D. Lee. We call her Mama Sophisha, but my wife is one of the most brilliant people I've ever been around in my short tenure on this earth, and I'm 79 years old. And so those women were critical in terms of, but you look at the institutions that we have developed, and over half of the people serving those institutions are in positions of decision makers are women, okay? But that's part of it. But the first piece in the book is called Why Women? And I write, Taught by Women is my acknowledgement and thank you to over half of the world's population who remain too often property, raped, honor killed, diminished, enslaved, lynched, dismissed, excluded, lied to, abused, sexualized, sex trafficked, devalued, demeaned, excluded, in prison, forgotten, forced into unwanted marriages, miseducated, undereducated, beheaded, and bodily disfigured, all motivating me to be pro-girl and woman, which requires serious listening and specialized learning, advanced thought, care, action, and language that highlights Black music, poetry, and visual art, which I received from my mother, a woman who worked and died in the sex trade of the 1950s, just as capitalism, white supremacy, Black ignorance, enslavement, an anti-religious thought killed her, I, her only son, am able today and tomorrow to act and state with finality, stop. And again, thank you to Black women and the world of women for saving my life. So Dr. Daniel, it's quite simple to me that people ask me all the time, you know, I taught in the academy for 42 years. You know, why do you continue to do this kind of work? The clearest answer I can give for why I do this work and will continue to do this work, as well as my wife does this work until we leave this earth, is we love black people. Mm. Any people who are in control of their own cultural environment are about the healthy replication of themselves. And if you don't name yourself, somebody else will. And that is what happened to people of African ancestry in this country, is that we've been named by other people, and we've been given other people philosophies of life. And as a result of that, you know, Du Bois called it this two-ness, you know, this two-level consciousness. We essentially don't know who we are. The great majority of black people in this country have no idea who we are, where we come from in terms of our ancestors, what we brought to civilization, and what we are even doing now. You see, so it's and one of the reasons we started these early childhood educational institutions is to try to, in our own minor way, give that type of instruction, direction, and love.
And so, Dr. Madhubuti, in terms of the book itself, because we certainly want to give people an opportunity to purchase, can you just walk us through how it's organized, some of the people that you honor, or just talk to us about the book, if you will.
Well, the book came about as a result of essentially over 60 years working in black struggle at every level, whether I'm working with SNCC or working with CORE, working with SCLC, working with local organizations, working with the National, International, Pan-Africanist Movement. You're working with serious women. And so I have poems in here and words dedicated to Rhonda Byrd and the hashtag Me Too movement, to most certainly Gwendolyn Brooks, to the serious librarians. I got poems dedicated to librarians, and most certainly the writers I grew up with, Toni Morrison, Lucille Clifton, Martha Walker Alexander, Betty Shabazz, Maya Angelou, Ruby Dee, Etta Modin, all these, Frances Press Welsing, Margaret Burroughs, Sonia Sanchez, Queen Mother Moore. Ruby Dee, New York on time. I got poems dedicated to him, poems dedicated to my mother, but also poems dedicated to people that you or I and other people may not be as known to us, but have been a part of my life. And so it's divided into Poetry Matters and More, Language Keepers, Language Creators, Yellow Black, and that's what I am, you know, Heart Love, poems, and called Yes, Black Women. And this section, Yes, Black Women, I'm trying to, at some point, show that essentially these women have basically allowed us to grow as we are now. People may not remember Gabby Douglas, the gymnast.
Oh, yes, right.
You know, the first to really do some serious work around it. But you remember she used to wear her hair natural.
They came at her. I was thinking about that just this morning. Yeah, they're going to get on her about her hair.
Yeah, they came on it. And so I did a poem for her. And I got a poems in there for the women of SNCC, you know, for the big mamas and mama dears and nanas. Beverly Guy Sheftel, Alice Walker, Bell Hooks. And for the National Organization of Women and so forth. So I'm trying to cover the whole landscape. Not only in poetry, but I published several essays in the poem, on becoming an anti-rapist, all right? A poem on Lucille Clifton, essay on Lucille Clifton, an essay on Sonia Sanchez, essay on Tony K. Bambara,
yes.
Maya Angelou, Intisaki Shange, you see. So it's a full, actually 50 years off and on of work of trying to essentially say thank you. You know, I even got a poem here on grandfathers for W.B. Du Bois and Paul Robeson, okay? And so this is what I tried to do, Dr. Daniels, in this book.
Right.
And so the book can be brought at local bookstores, or you can go strictly to thirdworldpressfoundation.org.
Thirdworldpress.org.
Yeah, no, thirdworldpressfoundation.
Foundation.org, yeah, okay. thirdworldpressfoundation.org. I just wanted to repeat that because I was going to ask you how people can get the book.
Right, you can get the book. You remember 08, 09, when we had the economic meltdown, which was actually the second depression for us out of Bush's tenure, second Bush 2 tenure.
All right, Obama came
to clean this thing up. Well, it hit us so hard, we had to change from a for-profit business to a non-profit business. So Third World Press Foundation is now 501c3, okay, which is better.
Right.
All right, that we work as a non-profit. And that's why we have the thirdworldpressfoundation.org.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for, because you were so generous, and I'm sure Mary France Daniels will be responding if she hasn't already, but you was kind enough to send her a copy of the book, and she is elated, obviously. And also just want to acknowledge that, maybe 3 or 4 years ago here on the station, you contributed a large volume of books for a major fundraising drive that we did that was very, very successful. In fact, I think the package is still in our archives here at WBAI. So I wanted to thank you for that. But I also just finally want to say, I know you ain't finished. I know you ain't no ways tired. So what's next for Dr. Haki Madhubuti?
Thank you very much, Dr. Daniels. I'm working on 2 books now. We made some serious changes at Third World Press that you should be aware of. I stepped down. I'm the founder and chair of the board. The new president is Dr. Romy Crawford, who is on the faculty of the Art Institute here in Chicago. The new director of executive director of the foundation is Dr. Lasana Kazembe. He's at IPUI in Indianapolis, and the new publisher is Dr. Michael Samunga. He's on the faculty.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. No, Michael. Yes.
And so these three young innovators, writers, and thinkers will take us into the next 50 years. In a year and a half, we'll be 55 years old. But I'll be announcing this new change, actually in June. And so this is the first time on radio that I'm letting people know that we've made this change. And obviously, Rose Perkins, who's been with me over 25 years, Brother Antoine, been over 20 years, they're still with us and have key positions in the foundation. So we're going to continue to serve. And for your listeners, especially for your listeners who have family members who are locked up and incarcerated, all they have to do is write us at Third World Press. You can email us at twpress3@aol.com. And we will send incarcerated men and women free literature, free books. We're going to send out three free books. And Third World Press is 54 years old now, and we are the oldest independent black book publishing company in the world, and the only black book publishing company in this country and probably the world also that owns its own headquarters. So we've been doing this, and brothers and sisters have responded. And many of the women that I mentioned in my dedication and talking, writing about them, helped us. You know, the Sonia Sanchez, Margaret Burroughs, and Gwendolyn Brooks. I mean, we would not exist without them. We just would not exist. And of course, with the brothers, Midi Baraka, you know, including yourself, that contributed to us and, you know, sent money in the early days and so forth. And so we will continue to help your radio station. All you have to do is just call us and say, can you make a donation? And we can send books. That's not a problem at all, you know.
Right. So
what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Madhubuti, I just want to make sure I got this right because I want to repeat it, but because I think people will be very anxious to help our incarcerated sisters and brothers. It's TWP Press 3, right?
Yeah, TW Press, TWPRESS3@AOL.com.
@AOL.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. Well, really, really, really appreciate you taking time from your extraordinarily busy schedule to spend some time with us here on WBAI. It's always a privilege. We hope to bring you back again. And I know that the program staff is going to want to take you up on the offer because of the books that you have that can help us, you know, like raise funds to keep this vital channel of what Dr. James Small called, he called it a fortress of resistance and transformation alive. And that's no easy task these days, but we're hanging in and building and developing. And we so appreciate you and all the work that you've done for so many years and continue to do. Because as I, you know, I was thinking the other day, it is great. You wake up and you know, every day above ground is a good day, and we're still standing. And you cited some of the people that we're still standing for, and we're still fighting, we're still resisting, we're still transforming. So it is a blessing to be here and to continue to do this work. So thank you so much, Dr. Hakeem Adabudi, for being with us today.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. And stay strong, good brother. Anything I can do to help you in the Institute of Black World in the 21st century, just let me know. Take care now.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, sisters and brothers and WBAI family, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Hakeem Adabudi, Dr. Adabudi, is one of the great institution builders of our time. No question about it. And again, I just want to reiterate, you can email in order to get books for incarcerated persons dedicated to doing that. And that's so important, because just keep our minds. If you think about what Malcolm did in prison, Malcolm read every book in the library. But unfortunately, there are probably very few books, if any, dealing with Black history or Black culture. But he read them anyway. And he mastered every word in the dictionary. And he became who he became. You know, somebody who moved what I call realness to revolution in terms of being one of the greatest leaders that we've ever produced as African people in this world. So TW Press, that really stands for Third World Press, TW Press 3@AOL.com. TW Press 3@AOL.com. Send a note, make the request, and Dr. Hakeem Adabudi says they'll send you out some books. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Well, we're at the point now where we want to go do our soapbox segment. And we want to get as many callers in as possible. We have a range, a menu, probably too many issues, Ashley. But, you know, I mean, don't do them all. I mean, I'll just do two at most. And if you can do one, that's even better. Rapid fire, minute and a half, just to get as many callers in as possible at 212-209-2877. You know, you may also just want to give a compliment or a comment on Dr. Hakeem Adabudi, for that matter. Many of you know him. 212-209-2877. Soapbox box topics. Police killings. Has anything changed on the eve of the public lynching of George Floyd? Of course, there's a bill before the Congress of the United States of America, the George Floyd Police Reform and Accountability Bill. It stalled. Uncle Tim, that's right, I call him Uncle Tim, from down there in South Carolina. He's supposedly negotiating on the part of the Republicans. And of course, our own beloved sister, Congresswoman Karen Bass, is engaged in these conversations. But we're just interested in your perspective. Gun violence. 13 mass shootings over the weekend. 13. What must we do to stop the mass killings, the mass shooting, the mass violence, the fratricide? What must we do to end it? What must we do to end the pain, the trauma, the suffering? 212-209-2877. Is it time for Biden to stop playing nice? Oh, I'm using that term, you know, and we used to say dip the stick in terms of bipartisanship. We hear every day, including today, I'm reaching out. I've reduced my offer on the American Jobs Plan. I've reduced it by so much, but they still won't come to the table. They want you to reduce it even more. And he keeps trying and trying and trying. To our listening audience, is that worthwhile? Should Biden keep trying bipartisanship, or should he just dip the stick and bust the filibuster and move some of these key agenda items forward. 212-209-2877. Lines are wide open. You can get in line right now and get right into the conversation. 212-209-2877. Do you feel safe? The new CDC guidelines about vaccinated and unvaccinated people, how do you know the difference, and how are you navigating that in the city of New York? Do you feel okay with it, or how are you functioning? Give us your story about that. Is it timely, or is it too fast, or is it just about right? 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Gets you up on the soapbox immediately. And of course, you know, what's going on with these attacks on Jews? What would you do to bring about peace in the Middle East? There is a ceasefire. Will it hold? How can and should the U.S. government function? How should Europe function? How can we make this whole? But how do we stop? How do you account for? Why is it that there are these attacks taking place on Jews all across the country, and right here in New York, you know, you're seeing these outright attacks on Jews that I think are horrible, that we should not behave in this way. But maybe there's an explanation, I know, and you're perfectly welcome to call and let us get your opinion. 212-209-2877, wide open lines, waiting for our first callers to chime in, the professor on the soapbox on these issues. We have plenty of time in order to get you engaged. So give us a call right now, 212-209-2877. Again, guns, 13 mass shootings. How do we stop this gun violence? How do we stop these attacks on Jews? Is it time for Biden to stop this appeal, this urgent effort to try to get bipartisanship? And then the question is, how do you feel? What's the nature of your level of safety? A great event last night at the Knicks. I mean, it was raucous. They were rocking up there as the Knicks were coming out. You know, they haven't been in the playoffs in so long. Everybody was. I mean, Spike Lee was in his world. Vaccinated versus, not versus, but unvaccinated. How do you tell? How do you deal with these? So again, 212-209-2877. Line up. You can get into the conversation right now. Rapid fire, a minute to a minute and a half. One issue, maybe two. Let's start the conversation. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox.
Yep. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You can speak up a little louder. It would help.
Yeah, no problem at all. I'd like to encourage that if we're going to be going back to school, according to the mayor, that part of the back to school is after school programs. We need to be conscious and budget for after school programs, including art programs, because we had an artist on the line today.
Yes.
And those artist teachings need supplies. So we need after school programs funded, and we need art supplies for those programs too.
Right. Wonderful suggestion, because as you said before, art is so important. That's why I wanted Dr. Haki Madhubuti to talk about that and to give his rationale for art. So thank you so much. Really appreciate that suggestion. Others can call us at 212-209-2877. Wide open lines. You can line up and get in right now. You don't have to wait. 212-209-2877. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox.
Good afternoon. I just want to thank you and Dr. Madhubuti, because you are a prime example of long-distance runners. And I think of how the arts movement in the 1960s helped me, and then reading later about the Harlem Renaissance and other similar movements throughout the African diaspora. And I just want to say to our people, we need to stick together. We need to, wherever the legislation goes, the most powerful thing that we've done is sustained mass opposition to police brutality, murders, and oppression. And we need to keep that up in honor of ourselves and certainly our ancestors.
Right. Yeah, the Black Arts Movement It was so powerful. And again, quite frankly, as I was coming along, I later on learned about the Harlem Renaissance. But, you know, in that era, you know, you that birthed, you know, people like Hakeem Adabuti, who was then the young Don L. Lee, Mary Baraka, who was then Leroy Jones, and Sonia Sanchez, and Bolins, and almost every community you went in, man, they were young sisters and brothers who were like on fire, you know, with, you know, talking about art.
So,
what now?
Spoke to us. Hakeem came to my high school when I was in high school, spoke to us, young brothers and sisters, in our school library. And he impressed me so much, I've been following him ever since. That was in 1967, 68 or something. So that long distance runner. And then the arts. But really, when I went to the presentation, I wasn't sure. I was like, the arts? That's kind of, I don't know. I didn't know the word then necessarily, esoteric or something. You know, I'm like, what's that got to do with anything? But he really told us and directed us in a way that we understood the centrality of art in people's lives and in our culture.
Right. And by the way, one of the things that he talked about was taking from the people and then giving it back. So if you recall, you know, when Karenga talks about art, he said it must be what? Functional, collected, and committed, right? It must be functional, collective, and committed. And that's what these black artists did with the founding of the Black Arts Movement. Look, appreciate so much your call. I see you're calling all the way from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That has a special place for me. So we appreciate you calling in from out of the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania way. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, let's continue. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox. Good afternoon. You're on.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the soapbox.
Yes, this is Larry from North Jersey.
All right, Larry.
All right. I thought I was number three. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of the things I see happening today are remnants of Donald Trump. I mean, it goes back to Goldwater. If you haven't seen the piece on Kamal Bell did recently, it's fantastic. No, I'm sorry. The other gentleman at CNN, the program.
Fareed, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I watched that. It was very fascinating.
But I've flown to Israel for many years, and you have one of the most mechanized militaries beating up on these people in a walled community. It's horrible, and I don't condone any violence to anybody. But, you know, Donald Trump, the first thing he did internationally when he got in office was move the embassy to Jerusalem. That
right.
We knew that was going to trigger a problem right there.
Arrogance in your face.
Overall, what we need to do is reach these people that went January 6th. And it seems a lot easier to me. I don't know why we don't think this. We need a good old boy. We need another Bill Clinton to say, y'all need to listen, because we are all the two most critical things right now is the health of the earth and the threat of technology to human labor. People need to look at YouTube, Boston Dynamics, with robots picking up human hairs, and, you know, what's going to happen 10, 20 years down the road for human work when the robots in the human form are at Starbucks or doing my job or any other job? So we need a good old boy to reach these people now with the Bernie Sanders message. We got to get serious, because talk about, we're going to see mass shootings pick up when drivers, truck drivers, all kinds of drivers, I think it's the number one job in America for men, lose their jobs, and they're going to take their guns out and this is the tip of the iceberg, I think, and I'm scary. So
right.
That's it. I listen to your show, love it.
All right. Well, thank you. I hope you're wrong, but I fear that you may be right. So appreciate your perspective. Again, 212-209-2877. Again, the police killings. We're on the eve of the marking of the mass. The public execution of George Floyd. Question is, has anything really changed since then? And if not, how do we change it? Mass shootings, gun violence, 13 mass shootings over the weekend alone. What do we do to stop this gun violence and stop this craziness that's going on? Is Biden playing too nice with the obstructionists, with the Eminem? I call them McCarthy and McConnell. You know, these are white nationalists, white power, and obstructionists who are really shielding for the mega cult of the Agent Orange, as far as I'm concerned. That's my opinion, and I don't mind expressing it. And then the other question becomes, the vaccinated and the not vaccinated, how are we navigating all of that? So these are questions that you can address and or others at 212-209-2877. Let's go back to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox. Good afternoon. You're on.
Is that me?
Hello. You're on the air.
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Okay. Hi. I appreciate you both. My name is Hollis. I'm calling from Bloomfield, New Jersey.
Okay.
Two quick things. When I was in high school, I read Dr. Mahabhuti.
Yes.
Book, Black Men, Young, Obsolete, and Dangerous.
That's right. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
I did read that right after I read Malcolm X's biography. And I see the obsolete, when I took the obsolete 20 years later, looking at that word obsolete, it looks like the Black men are technologically obsolete. A lot of us are very happy to talk about 2,000-year-old mathematics, but Black men are not involved in mathematics today. That's my first point. Second point is that, you know, 55 years after the death of our master teacher, Malcolm X, and 52 years or so after the death of Dr. King, they are bringing back voter restriction laws, at least in 23 states by now. So what does citizenship mean to the African American? Does it mean anything if they can just restrict you without even asking you? They brought into being the New World Order. They didn't ask Black people anything. They didn't ask any African nations anything. You know, as far as I know, no African nations are involved in any trade agreements with NAFTA, CAFTA, any one of those, you know?
Right.
Secondly, my last point is this. The Black nationalists versus the Black integrationists. Certainly, integration has failed, but yet we're still pursuing it. This integration assimilation accommodation has failed, but yet a failed policy in the African-American community we continue to pursue. You know, isn't that what they say? You trying the same thing the same old way and it hasn't worked is a kind of a madness. You know,
anyway, that's what they say. The definition of insanity.
Yes. So Malcolm X had coined, said, tell black Americans they were crazy, but I guess they didn't appreciate that too much, so they had him assassinated.
Yes.
You know, I don't know why they killed Dr. King. You know,
I can tell you that I have my own thoughts about that, because the two of them who were seen as being opposite to each other, but who were at least seeking the same objective, were increasingly moving to have conversations and collaborating to find out how they could create a united front. And you can imagine a united front consisting of the followers of Martin Luther King and Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, Omar Wali, our Black Shining Prince, Malcolm X. So many of us believe that's why he was assassinated. My friend, Priest, thanks so much for your call. Very good points that you put on the table. Others can call at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. We got time for a few more callers. Good afternoon. You're on the soapbox.
Hello?
You're on the soapbox.
You're on. Okay.
Talk to us.
Okay. I didn't know if I was. Okay, because he had told me. Okay. So for me, what the brother said right now, I want to piggy bank just shortly, that a lot of good brothers who have done powerful work, they're always trying something to keep them down. That's all I want to say about that. And then the other thing is about vaccination. I don't want to get vaccinated. I feel like, thank God, you know, I've made changes in my life. I'm diabetic. And, you know, and I'm more healthier than I've ever been. And my daughter works out, too. And I think there's a lot of people that are health conscious that shouldn't be forced. So my point is, I don't want to be seen as the other. And more it's like encroaching on you. I mean, just to put like unvaccinated people on this section and yet you're contradicting yourself. Oh, you can walk around with no mask and stuff like that. And I just think that there's a lot of layers to this is my point. And I don't trust those layers because history will point that out. And as far as George Floyd, God bless.
Well, hold on. Let me just ask you about. Can you hold on just a minute? What about? Sure. So do you wear a mask or do you do social distancing or
only
any of those?
When only when there's a lot of people.
Okay, but you do.
Because yes, I just want.
Okay, all right. I was just asking. Go ahead, make your comment about the George Floyd.
Well, I think that yes, Biden, which I made a comment last week, and then you said the glass is half full. When I was just trying to say he should be gangster, it was a word to say that Trump didn't respect in terms of like procedure, and then he put in his people who would do his calling. And what I was trying to say with gangster, I don't mean, you know, be as horrible, you know, malicious. No, but push through his agenda, which happens to be good.
Right.
So that always pleading for the other side to do the right thing is not, even the Republicans are saying this, we are changing it within ourselves. So there is how there's a poison inside there, you know. So that has to be addressed.
Right, I got you. All right, okay, well, you're for dipping the stick, and I agree with you on that point, by the way. So thank you much, so much, and thank you for being a consistent listener and being willing to call in. Let me see what my instructions are. Can we take one more call? Good afternoon, you're on Vantage Point.
Yeah, I'm Bruce in Manhattan. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Bruce.
Okay, my mom is from Canada. And they never had a civil war up there, you know what I'm saying? And they, in fact, they're under a railroad. You know, that was where a lot of people wanted to get to, you know, to get out of
there. That's right.
So I got lots of cousins all over Canada. They look at us like we're nuts. They don't comprehend this whole racial hatred thing at all, you know? And same way in France, you know? And they look at us like we're barbarians. They don't get it. My mom was the sweetest little old lady, English lady, and didn't have a prejudice bone in her body. And her religion, her old-fashioned religion, really worked for her. You know, she turned the other cheek. And I had clients in the music industry, famous people. And they would love her. You know, they'd spend hours on the phone chatting with her because they could tell that there wasn't a prejudiced bone in her body. But it's just a tragedy. It's such a – what's happened in this country, it's just horrible. And I'm not sure, you know, how to resolve it. But, you know, I can only take care of my side of the street. I can't change the other guy, you know?
Right.
And I don't want to blame the victim. But, you know, when these young guys, these young punks walk around with their pants hanging off their rear end, I mean, it's so disrespectful to themselves and others. And in the same way, you know, we speak American English in this country, you know? And if you don't want to speak properly, you're not going to get a job in a bank, you know? You're not going to get – I was dealing with somebody in the government last week, you know, a social worker. And, I mean, it was tragic. She just couldn't talk. You couldn't
understand.
Then they combine it with the cell phone, you know, technology.
Right.
We can't hear people.
Okay. Well, look, my friend, I'm really running out of time. I would like to talk more about your characterization of people with baggy pants and all of that, because I really seriously differ that has to do with anything. But we'll take that up another time. I got to run. I'm up against the clock. I do want to remind our audience that you can go to TP Press, Third World Press 3 at AOL.com in order to get those books for incarcerated persons. Let me do it again. TWP, that's Third World Press 3 at AOL.com to get those books for incarcerated persons. And we thank Dr. Haki Madhubuti for that. Look, we'll see you again here next week on Vantage Point as we continue to take up these topics. We're out of here now, and upcoming next is the news with Donella Samuels, the joint news between WPFF, WPAFW, and WBAI. We'll see you next week.